239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. Terry Cobalt, is this newsroom this quiet? It's 2 o'clock. You're less than 3 hours before your first newscast. Is this normally this quiet, or everybody left because we're here?
No, everybody's working. Everybody's working. The news isn't happening in here except for you today. Uh-huh. But we go to where the news is. Everybody's working.
239-1310. We go back to the phones. And Anonymous, you're on the air. Go ahead. Anonymous going once, going twice. Let me move on to Dave at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, good afternoon, Amos and your guest.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Two things. The NAACP's banquet is Friday, mm-hmm. at the Marriott and downtown. And I have a question. The policeman that murdered the young fellow that was on the circle, that was going to purchase a home for his father, and he had his wife and son in the car. Is he still on the force? I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name either, and that was, what, the 1980s?
Has it been that long?
This is the circle. The guy was going to pay the light bill at Power and Light, right?
No, he was going to purchase a home for his father, and he worked at the post office. Black young fella.
And this was on the circle in daylight.
Yeah,
that was in the 80s.
In the 80s, my guy.
Well, it is conceivable that officer has retired.
Yeah,
that's been a long time ago.
If he had any more incidents that he was involved in.
That, oh no, you reached back, and this is beyond the years of the two guests I got here with me.
Is that right? Hey, thank you.
All right, thank you. 239-1310. Dave also was plugging that the NAACP banquet is this Friday, but television news doesn't cover a lot of evening meal events, and a lot of events that occur in the minority community are evening events. Is that, and people say, is that something that's not exciting? Meal events aren't exciting for local television anymore?
Well, it depends on what the event is and why they would want coverage. Obviously, we get a lot of requests for people for us to cover their events. And I think one of the questions that people should think about is why they want coverage. Is there a specific message they want to get out? Are they wanting people to attend? Is it more like an advertising thing? I used to, as you know, be in charge of PSAs, public service announcements, here at the station in one of my roles. And I would always ask, nonprofit organizations or groups that were asking for coverage, what was the goal of their coverage? And a lot of times people would say awareness. And then I would say, well, awareness for what? And so you have to think about trying to get people to sort of drill down to why this might be newsworthy and then take that bit of information in their presentation to a news department, because it's not always readily available to us everything that they know and why it should be newsworthy. And so they should think about that in their pitch, and that will help us sort of decide whether or not we think that's of interest to our viewers.
Let me ask you this. If an organization really is trying to get people to come to their event, well, you know, they're trying to sell tickets, help raise money, you guys, how do you want them to approach you? Is that going to theindychannel.com? You got a place called Community Calendar, and you put that information in?
Absolutely, and they actually can put it in themselves. It's actually sort of changed to a completely user input system so that they're able to put the information that they want in there. Not every organization has a PR person or a PR department or PR volunteer, really, that can put together a nice buttoned-up news release. So a lot of times they'll bring us flyers, or they'll bring us, you know, limited information. And the community calendar online gives that great prompt to get the exact information that the public needs to know if they want to attend.
So that's a way that that if an organization wants to get the word out on the community calendar, they just go to theindychannel.com, click on community calendar, and start filling the stuff out.
Absolutely, and that's really a service for the community, not only for the people putting on the events, but for people who are looking to do things.
Raphael?
You know, we do a lot of station events. I am everywhere all the time. So is Kevin Gregory, Todd Connor, Erica Fly. People can stop us and say, hey, this is what's happening next week. internally, we have a community involvement committee, and so we are committed to the communities we serve. And so if someone says to me, hey, on Friday, the NAACP dinner is, I'm going to say, well, what's happening? What's going on? I could bring it back, and maybe we can help them with some funding and some advertising. So it's up to really people to bring it to our attention. I mean, you have to talk to us.
What about Raphael, if somebody's out at an event and one of the non-minority reporters at Channel 6 is out at an event, and maybe somebody in the community might be afraid to approach them? You really want, hey, come talk to us.
Listen, this is 2013. Okay, I mean, really, I get tired of that thing. We cover all of our communities, whether they speak English or Espanol. So the point is, if you have an event that you believe in, that you are passionate about, there's no reason why you cannot approach anyone that has a microphone of any kind or a BlackBerry or an RTV6 app and say, this is my event. Would you please pass it on to your managers, no matter what TV station or radio station? So this whole issue that we don't cover this event or that event, we don't cover a lot of white events. We don't cover a lot of Latino events. We cover the events that matter, that we hope matter, that we hope will generate some interest. So folks need to really sort of not get into that whole thing about we're not covering this or that. There are a lot of things we don't cover.
Let me go to Brenda at 239-1310. Brenda, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Amos. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good day to your guests that are there.
Yeah.
Mr. Raphael, you called me on an educational issue back a couple years ago, but we never connected. So this is the question I have for you today. You said that you have investigative reporters, I think 6 of them now?
5.
Okay. Will any of them include an education investigative reporter?
That's a good question. Brenda wants to know, when you ramp up all the RTV6 investigators, will any of them have, and this is probably more for the news director, any specialty towards education? And I think what Brenda is coming, you know, she feels that there's been all kind of skullduggery in education. And given all of these leaks of some of the emails out of the Department of Education, is that an area that, you all, other than the investigation that Kara Kenny did out in Wayne Township, that's an area that you all really could be another area to look at?
It certainly could. Obviously, it's something that impacts so many people in our communities, and we were on top of it when it happened, when it broke, Raphael was specifically, and that is something that's of interest to us. Now, what we're working on, what we're planning, I'll be honest, I can't tell you. Because other stations are listening, and one of the and it's competitive, right? So we know what the initial story is, but then our charge is, what do we do with it? What do we dig for? What do we find that isn't on the initial report that we know will, that our viewers will care about?
You know, we love anonymous tips. So for anyone listening out there who can hear me clearly, we want people to call in and tell us what's happening in their schools, in their businesses. I love disgruntled people, as long as they have information that I can verify. No one, listen, I know so many people whose names I really don't know, but their information is so awesome that we're allowed to report on them. So people need to trust us to just get the information. They have to have some proof, something, an email, a picture, something that we can then work off of and independently verify.
Let me ask, Brenda, you still there?
I got one other question to ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Raphael, I got a story for you, but the question is do you have the courage to take it? It has to do with some falsification of special education records, which, when I'm talking about this specific group of young people, their federal rights are being violated through suspensions, expulsions. Many of these children are being criminalized through these school systems, and it's hard to get that hard data because the schools are hiding it.
Let me rephrase the question, because I want to ask a corollary, Brenda, to your question. If someone comes to you, Raphael, you or any of the other investigators that have some information, does the information and the documentation need to be current? And when I say current, within the last 3 to 5 years, not bring something that happened 5, 6, 7, 10, or 12 years ago.
Everything is so fact-specific, so I don't want to limit anyone's ability or possibility that they have something that we can sort of connect the dots, because sometimes you may have something that I could say, oh, yeah, I heard about that, or wait a minute, I got a call about that yesterday. So I never want to limit anyone's desire. If they have some information they want to pass on to us, please give us a call or email us.
How difficult is it to get you? I think there are people still waiting to get with you when you was the consumer investigator.
I'm at Walmart. I go to Target. I'm downtown. I'm at the CCB. I'm always open to someone stopping me and say, hey, here's my phone number, here's my cell, whatever it may be, and I always get back to them. So some things obviously take priority. I mean, we have things that happen in the world, as you know, as a parent. I have to change my schedule every day, so sometimes I have to just change how I respond to every call. But we'll get to you, and if it's that pressing, we will definitely respond.
Let me ask Terry Cope Walton. Yeah, I know the other TV stations are listening in on investigative stuff. Y'all ain't giving up nothing. One issue, though, that I don't think local television has covered, and if they have, I'm sure one of the stations is going to let me know about it, is the issue of our public schools and our charter schools and even private schools following the law when it comes to how you handle children in special education. Not just the disproportionality of minorities in special education, but just generally, is that something that maybe could be an investigative thing down the road?
We've done that story. I mean, IPS was the one that filed a lawsuit several months ago regarding the fact that, amazingly, the kids would go to the charter school would get the funding, and then within a week, oh my goodness, little Johnny would have to be sent back to IPS. In fact, IPS even videotaped statements and took down affidavits, and that case was taken to court. So again, if a parent, if any listener listening right now has an issue that we could investigate, we'd be more than happy. We have the resources, the people to get it done, but you have to give us the information. You have to be able to trust us that we'll look into it. Again, there are people that I speak to every day that my news director sitting right next to you has no idea, and I would never tell her. I often tell people I'm dealing with people in the underground, and that's just the way it's going to be. Now, she may ask me who I'm speaking with. I may say a somebody, but I have never divulged a source. Ever. Ever. And it will never happen.
239-1310. 239-1310. We're live from the Channel 6 newsroom. The night crew is coming in. I see some of the night crew folks here. Raphael's got to go out, and you got to go out and investigate somebody.
I got some.
What are you working? Can you say what you're working on for 5, 6, 7, and 11?
I'm knocking a lot of doors. If I come knocking, you can either open the door or I'm going to chase you. Either way, I need the information. But the night crew is coming in, so I'm going to go get them for you.
Before he takes off, Amos, I do want to let you know and your listeners know that we talked about the weekend morning show launching this weekend and Indianapolis This Week moving to 7:30 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And beginning this Sunday, it will be Indianapolis This Week with Raphael Sanchez as the permanent host.
No. You got to deal with my Friday friend. You got my prayers. You just poor suffering guy.
Why am I suffering?
I don't know. You got to work 6 days a week now.
No, we work five.
You work five.
90 hours. But listen, I love my job. I work with the best people imaginable, and I know every station will say the same thing. But we have a good group of people here, and we just do good television. And I'm very honored to work with Terry Cope Walton. And I say that because she really is a good professional. And we're going to look forward to it. So join us every Sunday at 7:30 on RTV6 on Indianapolis This Week.
And more importantly, Joel Osteen will still stay on Channel 6 on Sunday morning at 10.
Yes, he stays in the same time slot. He does not.
We don't mess with God. We know where God is, and we love God. So God stays at 10 o'clock on ABC.
239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. We've got Anonymous. We've got others. All that and more after these. We're back live at Channel 6. A week from today, we'll be live at Lynn Broadcasting. That's Wish TV Channel 8. That's My Indie TV. That's Bounce TV. That's CBS. Down the street. As we continue our tour of television, Todd Connor, the anchor of RTV 6 News at 5, 6, 7, 11. You ever go home?
Sometimes it feels like I don't, but, it's part of the job, part of being here.
You've been here now how long?
3 years.
Boy, time flies when you're having fun.
It doesn't seem like three.
One of the questions that we'll be asking as we go around to the stations, how does someone that's new to town learn the town, learn the community? Particularly somebody who's, you're part of the face of this television station, of this news department.
Well, first of all, I'm not new to Indiana. I've worked all around the state, everywhere except Indianapolis, and I came back to Indianapolis after being out of town for a while. So I have friends, I have family here, You kind of, you know, learn through them. They came in, you know, they really helped out when we first moved here. And, you know, I've moved around. It's, you know, you just know what to do to get around and see the things that are important and see the people that are important and so on.
This television station, this news department is probably the strongest mixture of young folks, middle-aged folks, and seasoned veterans. Does that help in terms of having a news team that really understands this community?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great mix. You know, we're sitting around in the newsroom, and you get that, you know, the look that you just mentioned all across the newsroom. We have questions, something, a story we covered 5, 10, 15 years ago. There's somebody in the newsroom who was around when that happened. So automatically, they spread the word. We all, you know, kind of get filled in on the story if we're not familiar with it. So, yeah, it's a great thing, and it's a great way to be able to cover the news because we give it from everybody's perspective sometimes.
Talked a lot about on this broadcast about the internet, the website indychannel.com was the original name of this station's website, and it's kind of like burned in to people. Glenn Hale is somebody that you don't see in front of the camera. You won't even see him if you go to the indychannel.com. They kind of keep him hidden, but he has another one of these fans. It's a director of digital something or other, but basically he's the person in charge of the website, and it's not just you. How many team members do you have working on not just the website, but to be able to see a high school game on an iPad or a smartphone, or to get headlines on your regular cellular phone?
Well, this is an area that's just expanding. So we're up to 5 now, digital team members. And mobile. Mobile is the big push now. I think you'll probably hear that from everybody you talk to in this business. But mobile, being able to stream games live, being able to stream events live. It's just another outlet and a bunch of different outlets, really, to just be able to serve the people in a greater way than we've ever been able to do before.
We're on a radio station where a lot of people of faith listen, because this is where we shine the light through the word and the music. People are always looking for good news. When I went and was looking at the website the other week, I noticed that you guys have a section on the indychannel.com on good news. How did that get started? What's that all about?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that within the last couple of years, the culture has really changed in terms of what people are looking for online. Facebook has really been kind of brought about that change. We found on Facebook that people were responding and were paying attention and were sharing and were liking things that were positive. Now, they'll do the same with other types of stories too, but the level that they do that with good stories was just something that we took note of. And so when something works and when something that we know people are responding to, we're going to do more of that. And so really, the executive producer who works with me, it was her idea to build a good news page. And we saw the reaction that got on Facebook, and we thought, you know, this is going to be a something that will take off, and it's really done extremely well.
Is that something that started here in Indianapolis? Have the other script stations copied after you? This is something where Indianapolis can brag and say, hey, we came up with this.
You know, we did start that here. No one else is doing that in our group at this point. And it's something that, based on the success that we've had, particularly with social media and, you know, getting that started, that's something that the other properties are looking at. So, yeah.
So somebody can refer something from Facebook or Twitter to the good news section of the indychannel.com?
Yep, we take there's a multitude of ways that you can send us stuff. You can send us things like that in the apps. You can send them on Facebook. You can send them on Twitter. You can send them on the website. You can call us. You can email us. We take them however you got them. And those are the types of things that people are really paying attention to and responding to, and so we want more of those.
Now, you've got this big monitor that I'm looking at, it, and in a newsroom, in a television newsroom, the biggest TV set is tuned to their own station, but I can see Channel 6, Channel 8, Channel 13, there's Channel 59 over there, and I don't know what the fourth one, I think, is ABC Network. But you've got this big monitor with numbers. Right now you're at 625, and it's got all kind of charts and graphs. What is that? Is that your measurement? Is that your report card?
Yeah, it is. It's what we call the Chartbeat monitor. It will show us real time what people are reading. So if you hit the indychannel.com, if you go to our website and you're on a story, it will see you, and you'll be one of the numbers on the board. that right now is just measuring just web. We'd love to get the same thing that measures mobile, and hopefully that'll come at some point soon. But to be able to see what people are responding to in real time, that informs a lot of the decisions that we make.
Let me follow up on that. So if all of a sudden, before a newscast, you put a story up, let's say right now one of the stories that's out here, Governor Pence managed to get his Healthy Indiana plan renewed by the Obama administration, which came as a surprise to a lot of people. The governor is happy as a clam, and we'll be talking to the head of FFSA on the program tomorrow about that in her first appearance. But let's say that thing started trending and going up. Is that something that eventually could graduate, and Todd Connor is talking about that tonight?
Absolutely. Happens all the time. We do make some decisions based upon what the reaction of people is, and this is really a research tool for us. We know what stories are resonating with people based upon what we see on that board, and it cuts both ways. There are some things that happen on TV that it's like, you know, we need a stronger digital element with that, and so we'll do that, and then we'll see it climb the charts as well. But it also happens in the way that we just see what the reactions are of the things that we already have.
Is digital and what happens on the website, or people can go on their phone, if they're out and they don't see Todd Connor tonight at 5, 6, 7, or 11, they can go to the website and they can see the stories that he's doing?
Yeah. We have pretty much every local story, especially ones that are done by reporters. You'll get to see all of those. We'll put those up on the website. They'll be on our apps. And really, the app is so important now because you probably wake up with this phone beside you. You know, anybody who's got those, you use it for your alarm clock. And so that's the first thing you interact with in the day. And if you're out and about, you're checking that thing all the time. And so we want to be in that space, too, so that people can interact with the content that we have there.
Let me go back to the phones. Let me start with, I got three anonymouses in a row. Let me go to Anonymous 1 at 239-1310. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon to everyone, and in advance, have a good evening. On the part about persons being maybe possibility they're wrongfully accused and you don't hear what happened, I always wondered about this one situation where there was a white-collar minority person that female that Mitch Daniels dismissed because of a conflict of interest or something, where they were trying to do something for the youth. And I never hear anything about that. But I wonder, are there some times where the media doesn't mention it because maybe there was they were found innocent and maybe they filed a lawsuit and they can't mention anything like that on the media?
You know, that's a good question. I think you were talking about the lady back in the beginning of the Daniels administration that was running the Heather Boljak.
Nobody hear nothing about what happened to her, and I keep wondering, well, maybe, you know, they found that they were in error and she sued them and they can't say nothing. But I don't know if that was the case or not, but I never did hear any more about it.
I know that case went to some kind of resolution, and I can't remember what the resolution was in that. She did not do any time, as I remember it. And I'm looking at Terry Copewall in the news. You don't remember the Terry Boljak case right at the beginning of the Daniels administration. But this raises a question on internet. Glenn Hale, we've had people ask about follow-ups. How long is stuff kept on the IndyChannel.com?
Very interesting question. So the IndyChannel.com launched in 2000. So we're going back now 13 years that the IndyChannel.com has been around. And we've gone through several changes, you know, in terms of design over that time. But the stories that we have, we've retained. And so we've got a 13-year archive of stories. So it goes back quite a ways. And, you know, as I know Terry, I think, touched on this earlier, but there are occasions where something will change with a story over that time, and when we find out about it or when we're contacted about it, we make a decision as to what happens with that.
But in the case of this particular caller that's asking about a specific case, Heather Boljak, if she goes to the IndyChannel.com and go in the search and type in Heather Boljak, B-O-L-E-J-A-C-K, that ought to return the stories that were done about her in at least the last 13 years. That ought to cover it. Okay, caller?
So just Google her name, Heather Boljak?
No, well, you could Google, but if you go to theindychannel.com. One, you make Glenn happy because his click will go up. And that's also where it's – don't just trust whether Google can get back in to find that out. Go to the website. There's a point – search is located what, upper which
– upper right.
Upper right-hand corner of the page, of the homepage.
Okay, give that to me again, what you just said.
Driving,
and I'm just trying to keep it in my head.
All right, keep it in your head. Go to theindychannel.com when you get home. Don't text and drive right now. And in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, there's search.
Okay.
And just like you would do in any other search on a website, that's what you would type in.
I got you now.
And the name of that young lady was Heather Boljack.
Yeah, because I believe that she was wrongfully myself because they never did stress any more about it, you know.
Okay. Something tells me the follow-up is probably there, okay?
All right. Thank you, Amos.
Thank you. Let me go to another anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, how are you? How are you guys?
We're fine. What's up?
I have a couple of questions. One is that I have a couple of clients that are working clients, and they work in a temporary service. I'm just going to tell you, this temporary service is called Labor Ready. One of my clients got hurt on this job, and they wouldn't. They had acknowledged that they got hurt on the job because they kept sending them to physical therapy. Now, as far as getting any kind of workman's compensation, they wouldn't do that. We have consulted a lawyer, but I need for them to be investigated at the same time because they let their employees just work, and they have them coming in. They say they drug screen them and do all this to them, but that is not I'm seeing in Seoul because the person that got hurt was person that got hurt was the other person that had been in there a good, I'll say, 24 hours. He said he had worked 2 days, and then he had to take, he was taking some kind of elusive drug to stay woke. So that's how
He was working 2 days straight. How many hours each day?
Well, he worked,
he's working 18 hours straight?
Yes, 18 hours straight. Because this is a temporary service. And
What is the name of the temp service?
Labor Ready.
Labor Ready?
Yes.
Labor like Labor Day, ready like as in Freddy.
Yes. With one that's located on Shadeland and 71st, and it's one on the south side. You know where that Walmart is? I'm trying to think. Out south.
One of them is at 71st at Shadeland. The other one is on the south side near the Walmart.
Yes, it sure is.
I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to hold on. I tell you what, don't hold on. They're listening here at RTV6 and probably all the other TV stations as well. But I'm sure Raphael is probably around here somewhere, and Kara Kenny's probably listening, taking care of the kid, and she's probably writing stuff down too. They may look into labor-ready working people 18 hours straight. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right.
One of my clients got hurt, but see, they're not paying. They won't even send that client that got hurt back to work. Investigating what? You already had acknowledged that this person had got hurt because they were sending them to physical therapy.
I'm trying not to cut you off, but if I don't take a break, they're going to run me out of the television station. Anyway, hold on. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. We're live at Channel 6. We'll be back with our remaining moments after these. 239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. You know, Jason Spell just came in, so I know something about sports. Let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. Anonymous, you got about a minute. What's up?
Okay, hello, Amos. How you doing?
We're fine.
Good. I just want to applaud Channel 6 News for deciding to go to weekend coverage. And I also want to applaud them for doing more investigative reporting because I think we really need that type of news because sometimes the Internet gives you firsthand information, and they don't do a lot of follow-up. So watching the news on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning is really good. The only question that I had, do you think that they would do more news on a global level, on a national level, like with what's going on in the world?
The caller wants to know, are you going to do, she thanks you for the weekend, she thanks you for the others. Are you going to do more global news, or are you leaving that to Diane Sawyer and them?
We're leaving that to GMA weekend. GMI weekend will be about things that are happening and things of interest to our viewers right here in Central Indiana.
All right, Jason Spells, you're here. It's a quiet sports day, except we got a Colts player who made the mistake of saying, don't arrest me, I'm a Colts player.
Well, he made the mistake, first off, being publicly intoxicated, trying to get into a bar twice. Exactly. You read the police report. He went to the bar. They said no. He left when they threatened to go get the police. Then he came back, and the police were there waiting for him. This was an issue in which the Colts have basically said, not just Colts, professional sports in general, they don't tolerate ignorance and alcoholism amongst their players, especially when community dollars and fan dollars are so tough to get. In a market like Indianapolis, you need good community people. And this was just a bad black eye for John Boyette and the Colts.
Is this also the Colts organization and coach sending a message, hey, let's focus on the field, don't act a fool out in the streets?
Well, they've had issues with that in the summer. LeVon Brazil got busted for his second positive test for marijuana. Remember Joe LaFette? She got arrested in Maryland, so they thought that, okay, it was off-season. These guys went back home. They made some pretty big mistakes, but that was off-season. We got everyone in Indianapolis was focused on football. Then, lo and behold, after the cut, before week one of the season starts, this happens. They are sending a message. Regular season's here. We don't need any distractions. Everything inside this locker room preparing for the game.
Now, you've been doing sports here at RTV6 how long?
4 years.
4 years. You came from?
North Carolina. Worked in Raleigh for 4 years and then came here.
So now, the three questions on sports. One, how good are the Colts going to be? We start on Sunday.
Question is their defense. Offensively, they can get points. We've seen the maturation of Andrew Luck. And he's more comfortable now with Pep Hamilton. Biggest question mark is defense. If they stay healthy, the secondary can be a big key. I'm saying 9, maybe 10 wins. Last year, they got the 11 wins, but they were playing, they were playing with a little extra oomph. So we'll see what happens.
All right, quick question. Is my Northwestern going to beat both Purdue and IU?
They're going to beat Purdue. IU, the issue with IU is, can they stop anybody? IU hung 73 points at Indiana State. They're going to be a team that puts points up. The question is, can they stop Northwestern?
Jason Spells, do they let you out to the high school games?
Yeah, I was at high school football last weekend.
Where were you at?
I did Short Ridge and.
Wait a minute, you covered Short Ridge
and Washington? Yes.
Because somebody was saying, well, you never come in. They don't come in the inner city and come. Y'all was down there, part of the whole sports thing at Short Ridge.
I go to an IPS school every week, so when people say y'all don't come, they ain't talking about me.
So you're out at an IPS school along with all the others. So if you had the app and the HD and all that, you can see that as well as RTV6 and theindychannel.com.
If you got the app and you watch Friday Football Frenzy, go along to our website, theindychannel.com. We recap all the high school games we get to. I promise you'll see IPS schools in there.
And see, this is a television station sports person, so unlike some other people that are starting digital things that know nothing about television, it's a television guy. They know how to shoot. They know how to do it. And Friday's Frenzy, Saturday Frenzy, Sunday Frenzy, y'all ready.
It's weekend. It's fall. What do you expect? Football at least 3 days a week, probably five.
He's always like this?
He's always like that. He's always got something to say. The guy never stops talking.
Todd Connor, I'm going to let you go. You get away. He's on at 5, 6, 7, and 11. Brother Jason, thank you.
No problem. I appreciate it. Everyone, thanks for listening, and more importantly, thanks for watching. See y'all in a couple hours. Todd, I will say, man. You look good, man. The tan, the summer tan is setting in nicely. We just needed the last of the winter.
Terry Cobalt, and we have enjoyed the privilege of opening this up. The other TV stations, Channel 8, has got a hard act to follow next week.
Well, we appreciate you coming out. We appreciate our viewers listening to your show and your listeners watching us and supporting each other. We're just here to tell really good stories. Again, we want your input. Reach out to us if you have a story idea, comment, question, or concern. We want to hear from you.
You just go to theindychannel.com and you can find her, Terry Cope Walton. She's the news director. You can find how to get a hold of her, as well as Larry Blackleby, who is the vice president of general management. We want to thank him and Scripps Indianapolis for their hospitality. Tomorrow on the program, the head of FSSA will make her first appearance because they're happy that the Healthy Indiana Plan, the HIP plan, has been at least continued by the Obama administration. We'll tell you all about that. Also, Earl Phelan, who's got a new charter school, Phelan Academy. We'll talk with him live. Then on Thursday, the FOP, that's right, the Fraternal Order of Police, live in our 1 p.m. hour. All that and more. And then a week from today, we'll be live at Wish TV Channel 8. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.